All right, 1 Timothy, please, chapter 4 tonight, continuing in our studies in the pastoral epistles, namely 1 Timothy. Work our way through this, get to 2 Timothy, and then Titus. Great teaching also in the book of Titus for the church, and great teaching to these men who were overseeing churches. Timothy was overseeing the church at Ephesus. And so the instruction is not just to these men as pastors, but also the instruction is for the local church. We've talked about already prayer in the church. We've talked about our behaviour, our attitude to our local church. We looked at that in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And we've talked about women's roles in the church in chapter 2. And so there's much teaching regarding the local church. Now in these verses in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says to Timothy, you are going to lose, some people in the church there at Ephesus, though that you will be teaching sound doctrine. And you'll be teaching the word of God, but you will lose some people. You will lose some people. And it's a fact. People in good, sound Bible teaching, Bible preaching churches fall by the wayside. And when I say fall by the wayside, go back out into the world as we spoke this morning. This morning we're talking about the enemy of the world, okay? And the three enemies of the Christian, the world, the flesh and the devil. Tonight we're going to be touching on satanic influence to draw us away. The world will want to draw you away. It ought not to surprise us that people in good, sound, fundamental Bible teaching, Bible preaching churches fall by the wayside. Okay? We're in a spiritual battle. And it may not be that they just go out into the world. It may be that they just move on and go to another church. But many times it's not a church of like faith and practice. And many times it's on a going down. A church of less Bible teaching and less Bible preaching. And they're on a gradual slide away from the things of God. It ought not to surprise us. Over the duration of a church that is sound in doctrine, people will fall away because that's the nature of the spiritual battle. But your purpose tonight, this, by God's grace, is not going to be me. By God's grace. The Bible says they will fall away. I'm not talking about falling away from a liberal church, a new evangelical church. I'm talking about fundamental Bible teaching, Bible preaching churches. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Chapter 5 verse 15, for some are already turned aside after Satan. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. All right, and so it's going to happen. People falling away from the truth, from good, sound, fundamental churches, falling away. The Bible says it will happen, and it will happen in the last days. All right, and then I want to speak, but probably not tonight, on verse 6. So we're going to look at verses 1 to 5. And then verse 6, I want to talk about the marks of a good minister of Jesus Christ. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time that we've had today. We thank you for the arm of the teaching ministry of our church and for the Sunday school class that goes on behind me and Sunday mornings and our Sunday school class here. And Lord, for the teaching ministry from this pulpit, from the scriptures. And Lord, as we see the emphasis in the Bible, may that continue until the Lord Jesus returns. And may we be mindful tonight that even amongst some of us here tonight, there may be in due time a falling away. And some will give heed to seducing spirits. And Lord, I pray that that would not be the case. As the pastor of this church, the shepherd of this flock, that you would hold us up and keep us from these things. And we would hold fast to sound doctrine. We commit our time to you tonight. Ask your blessing on our time. May we listen carefully, glean, be warned, and be wary. There is a move afoot to draw us away. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I want to talk about the power of satanic influence. That's my first point in this message tonight. And I want you to notice in this verse the power of satanic influence. It's very powerful. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. That's an interesting phrase, and I pondered on that term and I thought about how the Spirit, the word expressly means distinctly or clearly. And I thought about how the Spirit and the ministry of the writing of the scriptures and the Spirit speaking through the Word of God. And I think there may be something to that when it says the Spirit speaketh expressly. And we know in 2 Timothy 3:16 it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so it's the Spirit of God's divinely inspiring the writers to write. And so in a sense it's the voice of the Holy Spirit. We see it in, let's just go there from on that note to in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We see the involvement of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. We know, of course, recorded by inspiration, given by revelation, recorded by inspiration. The Scriptures. Notice verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us, Paul referring to himself and the other writers of the Bible, by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And then he goes on to say, what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. All right, now I'm not sure if that's exactly what this phrase in 1 Timothy 4 is referring to, but we do know that the Spirit speaks through the Word of God. We know that. But here this phrase, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly or distinctly, and then it goes on to say that in the latter times, the latter times. Now, I think we're talking about the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 talks about the last days. Let me just read that to you. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. In the last days. And we know when you do a study on the seven dispensations of time, can somebody tell me what dispensation of time are we in? Age of Grace, which is number six. The sixth dispensation of time. And so we are in that church age. The only event to take place now, which will usher us into that millennial age, is the rapture of the church. And so when it says here, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, is that what it says? The latter times. Yes, in the latter times, the later days. And many believe that we are in the last days of the church age. And that may be so. We certainly know we're a lot closer to the last days, or the day when the trumpet will sound. We know we're a lot closer to that than when this was written 2,000 years ago. We know that much, but we certainly don't know exactly when it's going to take place. But there's certain indications that in the scriptures, without going into that tonight, that tells us that we're in the latter days. All right? And then it says in this verse in Timothy, in the latter days some shall depart from the faith. Okay? We're talking about the Christian faith. The Christian faith, referred to many times as we've looked at in our studies in Ephesians, that way, or the faith. Okay? And many, it says, in the latter days some shall depart from the faith. Well, we could ask ourselves the question, as I did when I was studying, what does that mean? Some shall depart from the faith. Were they saved in the first place? And backslidden? Or were they never really saved? And I think there's possibly two aspects of this. We know that people can be professors of Christ, but not possessors of Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? A person can profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ but not really be saved. You may have seen that, you may have experienced that, where people have bowed their head, prayed a prayer, made a profession of faith. But the testimony and evidence of their life gives indication that they were never saved. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. You were never one of mine. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. John 2:19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be manifest that they were not all of us. Some people depart from the faith because they're never saved in the first place. But some people can depart from the faith who are saved because of the power and influence of the world, as we saw this morning. Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world, and of the power and influence of this satanic influence. It's very powerful. Very powerful. Okay, the word depart is amphistemi, and it means to withdraw oneself from. And we've seen it over the years here in my ministry here. Profession of faith, sometimes with tears. Baptism. And then gone. A few months later, year later, gone. Not to be heard of again. And I'm not talking about gone to another independent church here in this area or a good Bible teaching church. Doesn't have to be an independent Baptist church. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking just back out in the world and doing the same thing they did and they've always done. And no interest in the things of God. Verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Right here we see the powerful influence of Satan and his cohorts. And may I remind us this evening of the spiritual battle that is raging in your and my life. Right now. Wanting to draw you away. Draw you away from your love for the Lord, from your time in the Word of God, from your local church, from the Lord in general. All right, there's a move afoot right now. Right now. When you got saved, you stepped onto a battlefield. You're not an observer. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle. We're in the arena, in the wrestle. We're not there just watching others wrestling and in the battle. We are on the arena, we are in the battle. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. You and I are in the midst of the battle. And whether you realise it or not, there's a move afoot to draw you away from the things of the Lord, to draw you away from your Christian faith, to draw you away from a good, sound, Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching church, to draw you away from your precious time in the Word of God, whenever you have that, and your time with the Lord in prayer. There's a move afoot to do that. Satan doesn't want you to do that. And so in the latter time, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Seducing spirits are spirits that draw people away from the truths of the Word of God. That's the nature of a seducing spirit. And people are being drawn away. Our verse says, notice what it says, they are giving heed. They're listening to them. Their ears are pricked up. Their hearts are open to them. And they're giving heed. When you give heed to something, it's like, could you say that again? I'm listening. Okay, and so they are listening to them. And I want to say this evening. Satan and his cohorts, demons and devils, are not passive in the spiritual battle that you and I are in. They are not sitting around twiddling their thumbs, wondering what to do. Not so. They're not happy with the fact that you are in a sound, fundamental, Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching church where the truths of the Word of God are preached without fear or favour, and they are and they will be very active in wanting to draw you away. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's not just sitting back, resting on his laurels, inactive in this church age, in the world today. He's walking up and down, to and fro, Job said. It says in the book of Job, to and fro, seeking whom he may devour and draw away. And statistics tell us that even here tonight in this church, somebody is going to fall away. And what happened to such and such? Oh, not in church. And, you know, where are they going to church? And what church are they going to? And are they going to church? It's a fact. It's just a fact. Remind us this evening that the weapons, your and my weapons in this battle are not carnal, but are spiritual weapons, namely the Word of God. Referred to in the Bible as the sword of the Spirit. And you know, you come to this church, I challenge you about memory verses, I challenge you about your quiet time with the Lord. We are constantly over and over the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, week in, week out, month in, month out, year after year. You can't get enough of it. Of course, the most important thing in the spiritual battle is your and my relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing. How's your relationship with the Lord tonight? How's your relationship with Him through the Word of God? And, I like what Brother Nick did when we were, I don't know what it was, a Wednesday night or Sunday school or something. And he said, let's go around the room and let's talk about, and you give testimony of how's your quiet time with the Lord. I wonder if we did that tonight. If I was to say to you, how's the Lord? What's the Lord speaking to your heart about in the Word of God? And Brother Nick was up here and he said it while he was leading the singing regarding, you know, just get around and, you know, particularly some of these Pentecostal charismatic churches, and you get with some of the people there, just talk to them about basic doctrine there. Huh? What? How long have you been in the church? 25 years? 30 years? Got no idea. I'm not being critical or judgmental, I'm being factual. If your relationship with the Lord is not right, you're on shaky ground. You're a prime target for the seducing spirits. They'll come to you, they'll whisper in your ear. You're not grounded in the Word of God. You've got no foundation, and they will draw you away with it like a bit of candy with a little baby. How's your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Challenge you tonight. Don't come and tell me. Just go home and you just think about this tonight. And think about, oh, she'll be right, I'm okay. You know, I'm big and strong and I'm okay. No, you're not. You're weak in the flesh, just like all of us. Prone to be drawn away. Sucked away from the Lord. And then it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I had to think about that phrase and thought about that. Doctrines of devils. I mean, you can't see devils, they're spiritual beings. So how do we get a doctrine from a devil? Seducing spirits, ministering to our minds, creating wrong thinking, and doctrines of devils. How do the spirit beings communicate their doctrines, their teachings to the hearts of men? I'm not sure if I'm right here. Let's go. 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 11. See what you think. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. Second Corinthians 11:13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing. It's no big deal. If his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You know, as I'm speaking tonight, you know that they're in pulpits across the land, pulpits across the world, and offices, church offices with the name there, Reverend, Minister, Pastor. And they are in pulpits teaching the Word of God, men who are not even saved and are actually doing, and by the way, they do a pretty good job. They're very deceitful, and they're doing the work of Satan and teaching the Word of God. And when the teaching of the Word of God, so throwing in there a little bit of poison and false doctrine along the way, and the people are just feeding on it. Matthew 24:24, for there shall also arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Deceive the very elect. 1 Timothy 4:2, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They are liars and hypocrites. They don't tell the truth and they don't practice the truth. And Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, you'll know them by their fruits. Matthew 7:16. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Conscience, the vines in the vines, synedesis, it means to know with. Seared means to brand or to cauterize or to numb. They have no moral conscience about their wicked activity. You try to sit down with them, somebody like this, and you try to reason with them from the Word of God. It's very difficult. I don't know if you've ever come across somebody like that who's just got a bent against the Scriptures in some way. And they're in the clutches of the devil. And you cannot reason with them. Their means of understanding the truths of the Word of God, their consciences have been cauterized, seared, numbed or deadened, and no amount of trying and reasoning with them will convince them otherwise. They are in the clutches of the devil. Notice the words of Paul to Timothy of people who are like this, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Notice this, please. 2 Timothy 2:24. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, peradventure, quickly will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. People like this, only God can deliver them. We can pray for them, okay? And when you talk to them, don't argue with them. Just be patient and gentle and share the truths of the Word of God. But ultimately, they're in the snare of the devil, and only God can deliver them. And the peradventure here is quickly. If God quickly will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 4. then some of their teaching, verse 3, forbidding to marry. This is contrary to the clear teaching of the scriptures on this subject. Proverbs 18:22, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing and obtaineth favour of the Lord. Hebrews 13, verse 4, marriage is honourable in all and the bed undefiled. And then it says, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. You know, it seems to me that back in the first century, the diets and eating of meats and not eating of meats was a big issue. We came across that in our studies in Romans chapter 14. Remember back there in our studies there, some were saying, well, you know, we don't think it's good, we're vegetarians, you shouldn't eat meat. And the meat eaters are saying, well, bully for you. We think that you should eat meat, there's nothing wrong with it. And it became a bone of contention. Bone of contention back there. And the Apostle Paul said to the church at Rome, be careful about making these things an issue among you. And many times you'll find the cults want to control these areas of people's lives. Diets and things like that. Anyway, by the way, after the flood, God said to Noah in Genesis chapter 9, verse 3, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb, as I have I given you all things. You want to eat meat? Eat meat. Mark chapter 7, verses 14 to 23, the Lord Jesus said in that passage, it's not that which goes into a man that defiles him, but that which comes out of his heart is what defiles him. And then 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Verse 5, notice even the simplest meal is set apart by the word of God and prayer. It is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If you want to go down to McDonald's after church tonight and sit there and order the Big Mac and the fries and the thick shake and all of that and sit there and give thanks to God, God says, I'm recognizing that and no problems. And Warren Carter said, amen to that. We'll call this the McDonald sermon. You know, so anybody tells you and says to you, you know, and the Bible warns about and talks about judging each other in food and drink and what we want to eat, what we don't want to eat. We're not to be judging each other about that. It's not our business. Somebody wants to eat meat, let them eat meat. Somebody doesn't want to eat it, that's fine. Somebody wants to drink vegetable juices, let them drink it. I want to say tonight, just beware. There's a move afoot. There's a move afoot. You be thankful. You be thankful. You're in a church where you get the teaching of the Word of God. And just purpose, I've said many times, safest place for you, maybe struggling with something in your life, whatever, the safest place for you is to stay where you are. Unless the Lord is leading you and you move area and you go to an area, don't go to an area where there's no good church. That's so unwise. You need to be in a church where there's consistently the teaching of the Word of God. It's the safest place for you and your family. There's a move afoot to draw you away. It's very subtle. It's very deceptive. And Satan, the working and the seducing spirits in our minds, creating wrong thinking. It's there. It's there every day. It's there every day. There's a battle raging. Let's be faithful to what we know we ought to be doing. Let's be faithful. Okay? Next week we'll look at the marks of a good minister of Jesus Christ, verse 6. Okay. Father, we thank you for our time together tonight. We thank you for the warning in the scriptures and the reality of the spiritual battle. It's not just a fairy tale, but it is an actual reality, and there is a spiritual battle afoot. There's the drawing of the things of this world creeping into our lives and our hearts and our minds to draw us away. And Lord, over the years we've seen many fall away. Fall away. And Lord, were they saved or not, I don't know. Thou knowest. But Lord, please help us to be faithful here at our local church and to be able to give a good account of ourselves when that trumpet sounds. And to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you a ruler over many things. And the Lord, to help us to stay with it and to stay on track and not to be drawn away. In Jesus' name I pray tonight. Amen. All right, thank you everyone for coming today. And it is good to be back. Good to go away to Papua New Guinea, but to be good to be back in the saddle and back in my home church where I belong, where I've been here for many years and plan to be here for many years in the future if the Lord tarries. And I enjoy ministering here and I enjoy teaching and preaching the Word of God. It's an honour and a privilege for me to do that. And we've got a blessed church here, church family. Many of you have been here now, notching up quite a few years. And showing yourselves very strong in the Lord, growing in the Lord, and very faithful. And it's not about, you know, I would like to see the church grow. Sure, all of us would. But it's not my church. It's God's doing. And he requires of us that we be faithful and to stay with it. Keep on going. So, going well, hang in there, keep at it.